Hello, welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 649. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out at our new home, contextmachine.io. And I was looking at 649, Brian, and thinking if you flip it over, it's 649. Actually not
649. It's a palindrome. Oh, it's 6-9.
It's more like 6B9.
B. Anyway, right. We're ridiculous. And you could use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine. You can find me on Threads at Details.
I love how active you are on Threads. I think it's so great.
I'm grown up. Sort of. Not really.
You are.
Not really.
Yep. We take it as we can get it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm Jay Gamet on the socials. I'm not as active on Threads as Brian is, but I make up for it by being more active on Mastodon. Hmm.
Yeah, you can tell us about our sponsor.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
Our sponsor.
Oh, right. Oh, goodness gracious. That's very exciting. Do tell.
Yeah, Hims. Yeah. We're sponsored by Hims this week.
That's great. We're going to tell you more about them later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the white elephant in the room.
There's like this whole wall of white elephants over there. Which one are you picking this time?
I'm picking the one where we didn't do a show last week, and that was the show that would have talked about Apple nuking officially Project Titan, their Apple car.
Oh, that's the white elephant that's sitting over there crying right now.
Yes.
Holding its little Titan thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So I figure we should at least acknowledge it. We probably don't need to talk about it for, I'm sure that people have heard all about.
Yeah. $10 billion, blah, blah, blah. Lots of AI stuff. People being reassigned to different groups. Other people getting laid off. Blah, blah, blah. And that's this week's show.
And I'm sure that people have heard that chewed over in plenty of shows since. So I just want to take a second to acknowledge the important thing that came out of this announcement.
The single most important thing that came out of this.
The single most important thing that came out of this announcement. And that was that I was right that Apple was working on a car. Apple has acknowledged that.
Well, they haven't officially acknowledged it.
They said that they're killing Project Titan.
No, Apple has never said a word about killing Project Titan publicly. No,
they released a statement.
No, Apple's they didn't. Statement. Bloomberg reported it. It was Gurman.
No, but then Apple... cancels...
I think the statement Apple released was we acknowledge that Brian is right. so they technically didn't admit to anything relating to the project, but they did confirm that
you were right. I could have sworn they released a statement.
I don't think they released any statement.
Well, anyway. I was right that Apple was working on a car. I was wrong that Apple will ever get to the point where they will release a car, though. I did think that it would eventually happen.
I think the fact that you were wrong on that isn't your fault. I think that was just a failure on Apple's part to follow through with an agreement they made with you.
Yeah, that's funny. So as a reminder, I met people that were working on this thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Gurman that it was Business Insider that broke that story, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was Business Insider that originally broke
the story. I thought it was Gurman that broke it.
No, that broke the story that Apple was doing a car.
And also that they killed the whole project. But you know, that was like a week ago. I don't remember what I had for lunch today.
The original story that Apple was working on a car. That was Business Insider.
Oh, right. Years ago. Yes, that was Business Insider. Yes, right. Yes.
And they beat me by a couple of weeks because I was trying to track down someone that I could source that wouldn't burn my source. And I hadn't done it yet. But so, and Business Insider beat me. And it's the scoop that I most hate that I didn't get.
Well, I appreciate that. However, here's the other side of it. You maintained your journalistic integrity because you were looking for the second source where the story that ended up running did not have verifying sources.
That's true. And I did have multiple sources. I met multiple people who were working on it, and I knew someone who had applied at Apple, and it was that person that I didn't want to burn because I was meeting everybody through that person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So your integrity is intact.
Yeah, fair enough. Yay me. That's the important thing. Yay me.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the important thing.
I thought that Apple made a statement about Project Titan.
Well, they had a very short internal meeting where everyone got together and I'm assuming the discussion started like this. Okay, funny story. You know how for the last 10 years you've all been working on a car? You're not.
Yeah. Yeah, but I am also sure that the AI stuff that was associated with this project will live on.
Tim Cook has said that as close to explicitly as he possibly could, using Tim speak, as you have coined the term.
Again, yay me.
Yay you. Yeah, Tim, a couple years ago, when someone was asking him about AI at earnings report, maybe.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't done any major interviews for a while, so it was probably a earnings report.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely not a media interview. And what he said was that if you want to learn the most you can, and I'm paraphrasing, the most you can about AI and developing AI systems, the way to do it is to make a car.
Right. Yeah, and before that, he had said that there were three interesting aspects of the automobile industry, and that was electric vehicles, autonomous vehicles, and ride sharing. And he said at that time, this was in a media interview. I think it might have been wasn't with Kara. It was not with Kara Swisher.
So,
might have been with Walt.
Could have been Walt.
But anyway, whomever this interview was with, he said that being at the intersection of those three things was something that he thought was very interesting. And, I don't know why Apple has pulled out of the car market. I don't think it was because it was too difficult. I suspect that it was them deciding that they couldn't control enough of the project to be able to maintain their competitive advantage. Same reason they pulled out of the TV market after years and years and years and years of working away at it.
Well, yeah. Good luck getting anyone to tell us the.
I suspect we'll eventually find out. 10 or 20 years, you know, there will be people who came out.
Okay,
of it,
sure, yeah.
That will talk about it. But anyway, regardless, I don't think it was because it was too hard. I think it was because they decided that they couldn't control enough aspects of it to be able to maintain their competitive advantage. I could be wrong. It could have been too hard. It's possible that it was too hard, but that doesn't feel right with me at all.
For Apple, it's I don't think it's ever a matter of this is too hard. It's a matter of can we do what we want to and make it the product that we really want it to be? And sometimes technology says no. And there can be other reasons too. But if Apple can't create the product that they want to bring to market, then they're not going to make the product.
Yeah. So I wonder what will be... their next other thing.
I think we're seeing parts of it already, but I don't know if it's going to manifest in a different product line or a different product space. But we're seeing more and more of what they're doing with artificial intelligence and machine learning all the time. And I have a feeling come WWDC, we'll probably get some bigger announcements from Apple in that
that. I'm actually thinking more longer term. Not the immediate next thing, not the immediate projects and products that are being rolled out in the next year or two, but I mean, like, what's going to be the next major platform? So I mean, it is you obvious, mean
like spatial computing.
Yes, but spatial computing has already been introduced. So what is the next thing? Because there is no chance that Apple doesn't have another next thing besides the car out there.
Oh, of course. Yes, Apple gets the whole thing about don't have all your eggs in one basket. And that's why we have Apple TV Plus. And that's why we have Macs and iPhones and iPads and Apple Watches and now Vision Pro and all these other services. So, yes, there's something else that will be coming. I think the next big thing that just dropped, of course, is Vision Pro.
Yeah, and surely the next few major new announcements will be AI related in some way. Mm-hmm. It's the bigger thing after that that I'm curious about. You know, another thing that we haven't seen anything come of was Apple's desire about being 10% of the medical industry. Right, that
I think they're playing a very long game on that one.
Probably.
It hasn't
even come up in a while. And no, it used to come up all the time. It used to come up in like every, back when Tim was still doing interviews, it would come up in interviews, mm-hmm. and it would come up in earnings calls to a certain extent. So, yeah, anyway.
I think a lot of what Apple's doing in that space is stuff that for the average person would be behind the scenes things and not the flashy front end stuff like, look at this amazing thing that we're doing with this app now, or look at this non-invasive glucose meter that we've designed.
No, they're still working on that.
Well, of course, they're working on that, and you can bet that they have lobbyists that will be talking to the people that matter to see if they can get the FDA to change their stance on non-invasive glucose monitoring, which actually would happen once the technology has advanced enough.
Yeah,
It's not as flashy to talk about the behind the scenes deals that you're working to get data interchangeability happening. And that's a very slow process, especially when you're talking about the health and medical industry, because there's basically no standardization, and it is crazy what it takes to get your records from one medical service to another medical service. And there are big companies that are working on ways to fix that, but in many ways it's all still siloed. So I have a feeling that Apple is working on ways to pull down those silos and create systems where the data interchangeability is much easier, much more transparent, but still meets all of the privacy requirements.
Yeah.
And not just for the US, but in other countries.
And I feel like Apple is also wanting to leverage AI and the information about us that they have access to, particularly vis-a-vis Apple Watch, to continue to come up with sort of armchair diagnoses and preventative stuff. I feel like there's probably many more things that Apple's going to announce in that area at some point.
I firmly believe you're correct.
All right. Again, yay me.
Yay you.
All right. Let us shift to our second topic. But this conversation went long enough. I think we should talk about our sponsor.
You know, that's a great idea. All right. Well, then in that case, speaking of health, so Brian, a lot of guys, they have trouble talking about ED or erectile dysfunction. But I just recently saw an interesting statistic I was not aware of. Just a little over 50% of men over the age of 40 do experience ED in some form or another. Hmm. And I totally get how that can be like a thing that really freaks you out. And it can be very embarrassing. And then how do you deal with that so that you're not feeling more embarrassed or you're just like awkward with the whole thing? I get it. It's a thing. But it doesn't have to be a thing. And then if you get over that part, and then you're looking at how much time it's going to take to get doctor's appointments and diagnoses, and then get your prescription and go get your prescription filled, now it can become a very intimidating thing. So instead of letting it be all of that, first, it's okay. It's a totally normal thing. And we can address this. And Hims is here to help with that. So what you can do is use their services, because what they're doing is they're changing men's healthcare to give people a simple and convenient way to access the treatments that they need, and not just for ED, but for hair loss, weight loss, and other things as well. And they make it super easy because you can do it all online. It, like, the whole process is online, and it's fast, and it's something that you can do privately. So if you are feeling that intimidation or you're just awkward with the whole thing, it's okay. They're there and they'll help you, and you can do it just without anyone else knowing. And then you can get that treatment you need so that that you can feel better about whatever it is. Like, hey, you know, if ED is a thing for you, the tools are out there to help you.
Yeah.
And that's what Hims is doing. So here's what you can do. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/context. That's hims.com/context for your personalized treatment options. hims.com/context. And prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if this is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply. And see hims.com/context for details and important safety information. Subscription is required, and prices vary based on products and subscription plans. So thank you, Hims, for being here and being our sponsor today.
For sure. We very much appreciate that. By the way, I see that Apple Vision Pro has a new version of Persona.
Yes, that's in the Vision OS 1.1 update that came out on Thursday. March 7th.
Right. That would be when that happened. I sent you a link. We'll include a link in the show notes, but it's to a very funny piece talking about it in TechCrunch.
All right. I'll make sure there's a link to it in the show notes. Yep.
Quoting from the piece, I just thought this was kind of funny. So I kind of want to pay tribute to the author Brian Heater by quoting him. I can't take all the credit, of course. I didn't do all this on my own because he's basically saying that, I know that that I looked terrible before, but now I look better. So I did do this all on my own. If anything, it was the Vision OS 1.1 update that showed me that I still have a lot of capacity to grow. I'm a more fully realized person, less rough around the edges. I won't lie. I still have a lot of work to do on myself, but it's hard to deny that things are trending in the right direction. He said, I can tell you agree from the fact that you're carrying on a normal FaceTime call without stopping every few seconds to tell me how weird my Apple Vision Pro persona looks. Which checks out. I wouldn't call my new face flattering by any stretch, but at least I kind of look like a human now. So anyway, it's a pretty funny write-up. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Apple did release several updates this week, as you just essentially noted.
Yeah. There's updates for everything. Actually, people, if you haven't done the updates for your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac, hop to it, because there are also some pretty important security updates in there too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always important, I think, to update your Apple updates.
Yeah. And as long as we're mentioning everything that got updates, yes. HomePod and Apple TV got updates too. So it's all the product categories, hardware got updates.
Right. So our other topic, now that we're getting to the other topic, is D&D. You wanted to talk about D&D for some reason. Dungeons and Dragons.
Right. I did. So this is kind of another wet elephant that's been sitting here in the room, which is that I'm really a Dungeons and Dragons novice.
Ah. Well, but you're not. You played years ago.
Yeah, I very casually years ago, like in high school, back when we actually had to wear armor and fight real dragons, when everything is black and white. And anyhow,
I'm not gonna laugh at that, because I'm afraid it would encourage you.
You're a wise man, or so they tell me. Anyhow. It's been so long, and I played very casually. I really felt like this is a brand new thing for me, getting into D&D, and I blame you.
Oh, yeah. That would be because I invited you to play.
Right.
And I blame John Keat, because it turned out he had a group. I've been looking for a group to play for a while, and by say looking, I mean like complaining that I didn't have one.
All right. Well, that's fair.
And it turns out that John and some of his other friends had a group that was a nascent group, and they invited me to be a part of it. And then I invited you to be a part of it. And I was thrilled when you said yes.
Yeah. And so I actually look forward to our once a week game. And I have to say, I really wasn't sure how this was going to work, because none of us are in the same place.
Yeah, we're playing over Zoom.
Yeah.
We're playing over Roll 20 in Zoom.
Okay, yeah, Roll 20. And I have to say, this has just been so much fun getting into this and doing the whole role-playing thing getting to see this side of you that we typically don't get to see. Well, to be fair, you and I don't go on crusades to battle orcs and dragons and stuff normally. So, but when we're playing and there's a debate about what we should do, and you're like, let's go over there where you know there's going to be a fight.
Yeah.
And you say that like, well, yes, of course, but that's not you in real life. So
No, maybe. I'm very conflict averse in real life. I'm not
but,
so.
But in the game, you're like, yeah, let's just go clean house.
Yeah. So what we thought we'd talk about is a little bit about the sort of current tools that are available mm-hmm. for playing, especially for remote groups. And I guess we're going to talk. You want to talk about just like actually playing?
Yeah. You know how the show is a very thinly veiled platform where I offer you technical support.
Yeah.
We're kind of just very briefly turning the tables here where you're the person that gets to offer the support this time.
Excellent. I'm okay with that this once.
Okay, that's fair. And thank you. Your generosity is beyond compare and reproach.
Yes. Thank you.
I'm finding playing this remotely mm-hmm. is actually pretty cool.
It's very workable. And
it's very workable. Okay. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. So I'm curious because you have played like in person, presumably. Yeah.
Yes.
A lot.
Back in the day.
Right, back in the day. So how does this compare to playing in person?
I would rather play in person for sure. I would rather play in person, but the tools that are available today, they're still a little bit problematic, but it's workable and me saying it's workable is actually it's a compliment. I mean, it's like, I'm
you're very picky.
I am very picky. Yes.
You set very high standards for things.
Yes. 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 I do. I like to, yes. Yes, I do. So, for one thing, all right, so we're using two platforms. We're using Roll20, we're using Zoom, and we're using D&D Beyond to a lesser extent. And
so we're using three. Do you want to go out and come back and try again?
I see what you did there. No, I don't. So we're using, but we don't really use D&D Beyond when we're playing. Have you even done anything on D&D Beyond?
Well, so I have a tab open for that when we're playing, but I don't actually do anything with it. So what exactly is D&D Beyond?
So D&D Beyond is Wizards of the Coast online tools.
Oh, that explains everything.
Wizards of the Coast online tools. It's basically all of the rule books. You have to buy access to those rule books. They give you free access to like some core rules, which is very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to have the books, you've got to buy them, and having bought the physical books does not get you access to the online books for what that's worth. And so it's all of the D&D material available online. Roll20
okay.
is the same thing, but with Roll20's version of it. And so they've licensed this material from Wizards of the Coast. So if and what they specialize in is providing environments for you to actually have a map with your characters on the map, with the monsters on the map. With the DM able to, the Dungeon Master being able to control what the players see, and they give you all those tools, and you also have to buy the books from Roll20 if you want access to those rules in your game.
So, okay. Now I get it. Marketplace or D&D Beyond, that's where you get all the official rule books. Roll 20 is where you have your virtual game board.
Yes.
Or game map and all the dice that you roll and your character sheets and all of that. But you also can get your rule books at Roll 20.
Yeah, and I prefer reading the physical books mm-hmm. by a lot compared to referencing them online. But when you want to find something, you know, when you want to do a search, it's much easier to do it online. And between Roll 20 and D&D Beyond, I feel like it's a lot easier to sort of parse the information on D&D Beyond, for what that's worth.
Okay, so now I'm asking some behind the scenes stuff, because it actually hadn't occurred to me how we're doing some of this as we're playing. So we're playing our campaign inside Roll 20.
Yes.
But when our dungeon master needs to look up something specific, a rule, whatever it is, or like if you were going to do that and you're not our dungeon master, then for that, you can use D&D Beyond because you've already right. bought the books from there.
Well, okay. So more specifically, the DM has bought the book on Roll 20 and added it to the game so everyone in the game can access it.
Okay, so buying the book in Roll 20, does that mean buying the campaign?
Yes, but so that Sai was not aimed at you. Sai was aimed at the realization that there are many things more to explain.
That's fair.
Campaigns come in two main forms. They come in commercially packaged, three main forms.
Do you want to go back out and try again?
Come in three main forms. There are...
And a maniacal devotion to the post.
There are the commercially packaged products published by Wizards of the Coast that often include books or a packet of information, one of the two.
Okay.
There are the third party packaged campaigns, which are not put out by Wizards of the Coast. And I kind of assume, I don't know, but I assume you can add a bunch of those at Roll 20. I'm assuming that Roll 20 has support for some of these third party campaigns, but I don't
okay.
know. And then there's homebrew stuff, which I've always done. I don't normally like doing the bought packages. I much prefer when the DM has developed a world and we're doing adventures in his world or her world.
Okay.
But
in their world,
but yes, but most people are doing these pre commercialized packages.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming if you're going to make a very compelling game or campaign for the people that are playing, that takes a lot of time. Otherwise, you're just going to create a crappy experience for everyone involved. Hence the popularity in buying a prepackaged game.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be, but I mean, you have to. It's really the people who like to do world building. They're probably going to be spending the same amount of time as someone who's really studying up the campaign. The commercial campaign.
Now, in our case, we're getting kind of a hybrid because our dungeon master bought the game that we're playing right now, or the campaign we're playing right now, but they went in and modified it.
Yeah.
And gave it their own touches.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
Yes, it is cool. It is cool. So what else were we talking about this?
Well, actually, I have another question for you.
Yeah.
So, except for the very casual playing that I did as a kid, where it was like a couple people with notepads, really. Mm-hmm. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons like in person. So if I wanted to get the stuff that I needed to host an in-person game, do you have advice on what I need to look at?
Yeah. You would want to, are you going to DM?
I don't know.
So if you want to be a player, the only thing you really need is the player's handbook. Player's handbook and a set of dice.
Okay.
And, you know, and a notebook and a pencil. And that's it. You don't need figures. Mm-hmm. You know, your DM might want to use figures. And by figures, I'm talking about the little lead figures or plastic. They're often plastic these days.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah. So you have like little mini figure things that you can move called, around that represent you.
And, they're called miniatures. And okay. So, you know, depending on it, and if you're the DM, you could decide whether or not you wanted to use figures. There's a lot of to be said for and against using figures, because when you're using figures, everything kind of becomes really 2D and non-dynamic. At the same time, when you're using figures, you can actually measure how far someone is from something. You can measure the area of effect, right? You can be a lot more precise, but that precision sort of can definitely come with trade-offs. And those trade-offs will be, you know, exacerbated or, you know, maybe even call it a plus or a minus depending on the people you're playing with.
Okay. So in a case like that, you're playing in person.
Yeah.
Dungeon Master can draw up a map of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can see where you are. And then you don't need anything special. You just need to mark in some way or note in some way on the map where the players are. So you can keep track of that. And then that's basically it.
Yes. And
which is kind of how Roll 20 works, because we get to see the map and then we see these little circles.
Well, so
represent each of us.
In an in-person game, you probably want to have a dry erase mat that's gridded out so that the maps can be drawn on as you're going.
And I bet there are dry erase mats that are designed specifically for gaming
this. Yeah, there are hexagon dry erase mats, and there are squared, gridded dry erase maps. And but then, like, there's this one guy I follow on Twitter. I remind me to send you the link. I'm going to make him send it right now. Send link to Jeff for Instagram, dude. All right. He is arguing that he's a DM and he posts a lot of content and he's really great at it. And he's arguing for the idea of actually presenting your maps in a stylized, like, three-quarter view. And which essentially is makes you imagine where you are, makes you imagine and definitely allows you to sort of incorporate more, you know, height, so that you're not just 2D. You're actually thinking and playing in 3D terms. Anyway, but the point is, there's a school of thought that does that. And there's a school, I think most people who are playing in person these days are probably using mats.
Okay. All right. I have another question for you about spinning up your own set of gear for this. So you said you need the player's handbook and the dice. That's like the minimum right there.
Yes.
So dice, is it just like you buy a pack of starter dice and it has a bunch of dice with all the different sides, or do you have to go and make sure you're picking out dice that have like four sides and six sides and eight sides and 20 sides?
So yes, D&D uses a 20-sided die, a 12-sided die, an 8-sided die, a 6-sided die, a 4-sided die, and then percentage dies, which are usually going to be 2 10-sided dice. One of them being the 10s digit and the other one being the 1s digit.
Okay.
So yes, you can find sets of dice, you know, that are very inexpensive acrylic resin dice. You can find those anywhere and everywhere that gaming stuff is sold. Or you can go ahead and go whole hog.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm looking on Amazon right now.
No.
Holy crap.
No, man. Go to Your Wizards. YourWizards.com and get yourself some stone dice. Don't you remember when I was buying all those sets of dice and I could have shown them to you?
Yeah, I do.
I bought gemstone dice and metal dice, and I've got a briefcase here, a clear-sided briefcase, double-sided, that's just full of gemstone dice and metal dice. But more recently, the resin dice have become a thing, where they've got stuff in them that you can see. Sorry about my dog.
I get it. Ichabod is totally into this.
That's Eve.
Oh, well, I apologize, Eve. Sorry, your voice is
but anyway, deeper than I remember. So yes, you can buy just your basic set of dice and be good, and your player's handbook and your paper, and you could buy us, you know, so when I came up in it, we never had prepackaged character sheets.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote our crap on notebook paper like God intended. But, you know, eventually the Wizards, or I don't know, maybe someone else, but eventually Wizards. Now this would have been actually TRS, which was the company that first published it, that mm-hmm. Wizards bought. Anyway, TRS put out character sheets that, you know, that were like official. So they, you know, they basically had slots for everything for you to write. But you know, you can do it either way. You could do just notebook paper, or you could do character sheets. And really, that's all you need as a player. As a DM, you would need, at a minimum, the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Monster Manual, and the Player's Handbook, at a minimum. You would also need a Dungeon Master screen so that you can have things behind that screen that the players can't see.
All right, and we have seen that in action in Stranger Things.
Yes. Yes, we have. And okay. and then the DM is usually going to provide the mat to draw the maps on. The DM is usually going to have, you know, more than one set of dice for whatever reason, and the DM is going to provide all the figures for everyone but the players, usually.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like our DM has really gone whole hog in investing in the game and in investing in his story. And he's even been painting figures, despite the fact that we're playing remotely.
Yes, he's been sharing some photos, and it's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then as the DM, you need to have either written your own adventure, or you need to have a store bought adventure, and okay. and possibly a store bought world. So, like, our adventure is taking place. I think it's Neverwinter part of.
There's the town Neverwinter. So for those of you that are wondering, we're playing Lost Mine of Phandelver.
Sure. So Neverwinter is its own separate world. So I was forgetting whether or not it was part of the Forgotten Realms world. I don't think it is. I think it's actually just the world of Neverwinter. But Forgotten Realms has got books and books and books and books and tons of novels. Like just tons of novels of both the background lore being played out, you know, as in narrative form, and also, you know, various sort of heroes that you might come across when you're playing Forgotten Realms. There is an absolute crap ton of Forgotten Realms material. So anyway, you need a world and you need an adventure to take place in that world. Now, needing a world could actually just start out as a town. You don't mm-hmm. have to have all of the world done. It could just be a town. And the adventure could just be, you know, like the giant rats in the sewer underneath that town. Or it could be in, you know, some knoll or some goblin hangout that's outside of town. And you can essentially sort of create the bigger world as you go as a DM. Because, you know, don't forget that D&D is collaborative storytelling.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. The Dungeon Master gives us a setup, and then we choose what we're doing. And yeah, so we're building the story as we play.
Yes. And like some of the worst DMs are those who are sticklers for you sticking to what they think of as a story.
Our DM has been very patient and flexible.
Yeah, he's very good.
We've clearly done things that do not fit with what he expected us to do for the story.
100%. So anyway, that's what you need to play. I assume that these days the vast majority of people are using the store-bought campaigns, which a campaign is usually like that. That's what the world is.
Okay, so I've been referring to our game. No, I was saying campaign, wasn't I?
Yeah, it is both your game. Your broader game, not just the adventure you're doing, and mm-hmm. the world that campaign is set in. That's it. Kind of gets used interchangeably.
Okay. All right. Well, I feel like I have a better grasp of what it is that we're doing. Well, the behind the scenes stuff. I feel like, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. I feel like I've picked up on how to play and how to get myself immersed into our story while we're playing. And I'm definitely having fun. But it's nice to know more about how all these pieces are really fitting together and why we have Roll20 and D&D Beyond as part of what we're doing. And so thank you.
Yeah, and Roll20 is owned by not Wizards of the Coast, but everything they do is licensed from Wizards of the Coast, but I believe they also do other games. They have other campaigns, other campaign systems that they've licensed. as well. So it's not just D&D. And D&D Beyond is just Wizards of the Coast. It's their D&D property.
Okay.
But nothing beats having the books. I most like reading the books. But again, when you need to find something, it is usually faster to find it online. But you have to own the book online, too, before you can do that.
That would make sense.
Okay, I'm glad I could sort this out for you.
I do appreciate that. Thank you. Man, right. You can spend a lot of money on this stuff.
Yeah, you can spend a ton of money on this. You can, but you don't have to. That's the thing about D&D. I mean, like, you can make it as simple as you want it. You know, there's the minimums. You know, as a player, you need the player's handbook. You need to know your character. And there are certainly additional books that have additional classes, additional spells, additional races. Yes, you can do all that, but you really only have to have the minimum. The player's handbook, set of dice, paper and pencil.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
I'm glad to have sucked you into this world.
You absolutely have sucked me into this world.
Yay.
And, yeah. And I really am having a lot of fun. So thank you.
Sure. I'm giddy up, man. And that's this week's Apple. No. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And that's all for this week, Jeff.
Yeah. Also, hey, thank you, Hims, for being our sponsor.
Yes.
Yes. Hims.com/context, HIMS.com/context for your personalized treatment options.
Yep. We appreciate them helping us keep the lights on. And on that note,